Welcome to the Write Nonfiction Now podcast. I'm Nina Amir, and I'm here to inspire you to write, publish, and promote all forms of nonfiction. Find the accompanying blog at writenonfictionnow.com. Ready? Here we go!
This is Nina Amir and Write Nonfiction Now, bringing you an interview with Jim Kukra of Digital Book Launch. And I'm talking with Jim today because he knows a thing or two about book marketing. He has 5 books on the market. One of them, Attention, This Book Will Make You Money, was traditionally published by Wiley, and he has 6 other books in the works. He's taken his titles to the top of Amazon in his categories and made them bestsellers. He's also raised over $30,000 in just over 30 days for books that he hasn't even written yet. And shortly after Attention, This Book Will Make You Money was published, Jim realized he did not need to have a big publisher to have a successful book. He decided to take books and publish and market them on his own. And he says he hasn't looked back. Now, not only that, he looked forward to the needs of other writers and created Digital Book Launch, a company that helps writers create professional book covers, landing pages to drive awareness and pre-sales, and marketing strategies to ensure they maximize their chance of a successful book. And with his background in PR and sales and marketing, and his experience as a web entrepreneur coupled with his successful author status, Jim has a lot to tell us today. So welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much for having me here, and what a fantastic intro that was. Who wrote that? That guy sounds amazing.
You've got just so much to offer. It's amazing.
Oh, I put a little bit out there. I've been doing this for a little while, and I'm always seem to have my hands in something. But no, I'm very humble, and thank you so much for being here. It's my pleasure.
Well, it's great to have you. And I wanted to start with that first publishing deal, because I know that your focus now is on self-publishing, but actually, I have listeners who are interested in both traditional publishing and in self-publishing. So I want to talk just a little bit about your first publishing deal, which was a traditional deal. Can you tell me a little bit about how you landed it and whether you feel it benefited you at all?
Well, the reason I got that book deal, I'll be totally honest with you, is because I had a platform. First-time authors, it's not that easy to get a book deal. I think as a lot of people will realize, I have over 15 years of building a name and a brand, and over the last 10, building an email list and building a blog, and hundreds of thousands of people know who I am, and Twitter and social media now. So I will admit that one of the reasons they gave me a book deal was that I had the ability to market my own book, and I knew marketing. So otherwise, would I have got the deal? I'm not so sure. I'm really not so sure. But the experience was a unique one. I learned that it was not something that was for me. I'm too much of an entrepreneur. I think that giving away the rights to your book, I think, is a bad business deal looking back on it now. The commissions are too low compared to what you could be making on your own. You're doing all your own marketing anyway. You might as well earn the benefits and reap the rewards and own your book. So I can go on and on a million different reasons on why I'm self-publishing now, if you want me to. I don't think that there's anything wrong with traditional publishing. I just think that it's not a good business deal, and I don't think that it's for me.
Okay. Were there any benefits at all to it for you?
Yes, there were 2 distinct benefits, 3 actually, that you got. One of them is no longer there. The first being that they give you a signing bonus, okay? So if you're going to self-publish your own book, you can't, no one's paying you money to write the book. Now, I have proven that you can do that on your own by crowdfunding your book, which we can talk about. But that was the one thing that they could do. The second thing that they could do for you was they could put your book into bookstores. That was the big carrot and the stick that they always held over your head, which was, we have secret relationships with the people who buy books from Barnes & Noble and Borders. Well, guess what? Borders is gone, and Barnes & Noble's not far behind, in my opinion. The super bookstores, you know, this is not a diatribe against printed books. It's just the economy and the facts of the situation is that the bookstores, you know, are losing money because people aren't going there and buying as many as they used to. So whether or not you agree with that or not, that's the truth. And so they used to say, well, we could put your book in bookstores. Well, you know what happened with my book? I'll give you my own firsthand experience. Barnes & Noble, since I was a first-time author, rightfully so, said, we're not going to buy a lot of Jim's books. I think they bought like 300 copies of my book before it was launched because they didn't know if it was going to sell or not. And after I pushed my publisher to tell me how much they bought, I finally found out. That meant that my book was in about one out of every five Barnes & Noble stores. And that meant that they had one copy of each book. So this whole pipe dream of thinking that just because you're traditionally published, that the bookstore is going to buy 500 copies of your book each and put it on display in the bookstore is essentially that, a pipe dream. So unless you're Stephen King or somebody who sells a lot of books, you know, it's just not going to happen. So that whole thing is gone. The third thing is that having a traditionally published book is really great if you're a consultant or a speaker. And I will argue this, though. That meant a lot more 2 years ago and before, but the world has changed. There's this huge shift that happened in 2011. Well, the 2011 will go down as the year where the huge shift shifted from the traditional publishing business, shifted from that to just being the regular publishing business, self-publishing. I don't think there's a difference between having a book self-published or through a legacy publisher anymore, because I can get a printed book made, print on demand of my book. Sure, it's not a hardcover book. Big deal. I don't think that in the future anyone's going to think, oh, he doesn't have a hardcover book, he must not be an expert. So those are the three things that I think about my experience with that. And again, I can go on and on about that, but those are the three things that I think that they really had over self-publishing, which I think are gone.
Okay. And so you mentioned crowdsourcing, and that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about. Can you explain how you raised money to write a book before you actually wrote it and why a writer would want to do that?
Sure. So like I said, I mentioned that first point. One of the things that you used to be able to get from a traditional publisher was the signing bonus. And I got a five-figure signing bonus for attention. And when I went to go self-publish my own books, I was like, well, this would be great if I could actually pre-sell or pre-fund these books. I had an idea for a series of books I wanted to write called Business Around a Lifestyle. And I said to myself, why don't I pre-fund those books before I even write them? Because I'm seeing other people do it. Have you ever heard of a site called Kickstarter.com?
I have.
Right.
And I want to, before you go on, I want to just make clear for our listeners that what you're talking about is the advance, right?
It's the advance. It's the signing bonus, yeah.
Right, right. Okay. So yes, I have heard of Kickstarter, and I actually thought about using it. I have a book that I had a contract for, and the publisher backed out. It was a very tiny publisher who decided to go in a different direction, and they gave it back to me, and I've never been able to sell it, and so I'm going to self-publish it, and it's a bigger project than some of my other ones, and so I actually had, and it has a charity element, and I thought about actually using Kickstarter and haven't, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Well, there's a couple things you should know about Kickstarter. First of all, for those who don't know what it is, it's a site where you can post a project, and people can bid, people can pledge to be part of a project, right? So then when you raise enough money, the project becomes a reality. Musicians are doing this. There's a girl by the name of Julia Nunes who got famous because she plays ukulele on YouTube and has millions and millions of fans now, who raised $90,000 to fund her next album from fans. You know, so, and I can tell you about artists and authors and people are doing it. They're using Kickstarter to do it. There's a couple problems with Kickstarter. Number one, you have to apply to be in Kickstarter. They just don't let everybody in. So like your idea that you have, like you think you could just go start a project today, you can't. You have to pitch it to them. And they have to decide whether or not they're going to let you do it. I would imagine based upon how many projects I see on the site, they probably get 300 pitches a day or more, and they probably only accept one or two of them. So that's the first problem with Kickstarter. The second problem with Kickstarter is that if you set a goal of $30,000 or $500 or whatever it is, and you don't reach it, the project does not get funded. All the money gets sent back to everybody who pledged, right? The other third problem with Kickstarter is that at the end of the whole process, Kickstarter takes a cut of the action, right? That's their business model. They're going to take a cut of the percentage of what you raised. Other than that, I think it's a great site, but it's not for everyone. And I looked at it and I said, well, I applied and they said, we don't want you. They said, we don't want your idea because we only want creative projects. We only want artists and musicians and things like that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it myself. And I did it myself. I built a simple landing page. I put a video up that told the story of why I wanted to write these books. I came up with 10 to 12 different pledging options. And I linked them to PayPal buttons. And I put a campaign out there through my platform. And I said, hey, I'm want to write these books, here's what they're about, and if you'd like to be part of them, you can pledge. You can pledge $10, you can pledge $100, you can pledge $7,500, whatever you want to do. And I raised now over $35,000 in less than 2 months. And I just started writing volume one of that book 2 months ago, or 2 weeks ago.
And what do you offer the people in return for their pledge?
Well, like I said, the varying pledge levels. So what you do is, what I did was, I said, like, well, if you give me $50 now, when the books are done, I'll send you a digital copy of each book, plus I'll put your name in the acknowledgments of the book. If you send me $100, I'll give you a link from this landing page to your site and printed copies plus the digital copies. If you spend $7,500, you can actually sponsor the book. The book will be sponsored by you. I sold three of those sponsorships at $7,500 a piece. The rest came from all donations from people who just wanted to read the book. So if you look at what I did, I essentially pre-sold the book before I even wrote the book and proved that I could do it and that anyone could do it. I created my own advance and pre-sold the book before I even wrote the book. And, you know, of course, now I got to write the books, which I'm doing now. But it's just, and I also wrote a book about how to do it. It's called No Publisher Needed, how I raised over $30,000 in just over 30 days. So I have a whole book that teaches you how to do that. But anyone can do it. It's very possible, and it's a great way to create your own advance.
Okay, that's great. So, now, the books that you have out, the five or six books you have out, all of them have been really successful. So can you tell our listeners what you've done to help make these books a success? Because I'm sure that a publisher didn't help you much on the first book, and that's why you went off on your own. So what have you done to help these books become successful?
You know, I have a company called Digital Book Launch, and my vision is, and my mantra is, book marketing starts at book conception. And I believe that, you know, as someone who's published both ways and who does his own marketing, you have to start your book marketing the second you have the idea for the book. I mean, if you wake up tomorrow morning and say, I think I need to write a book on, Apple Steve Jobs or, whatever you want to write your book on, on how to do organic gardening, or how to become an organic chef. You need to start that moment, write a synopsis of what the book is. You need to get a book cover made immediately because that makes it real. You know, it's not real. If it's all these things floating around in your head, you have a book cover made, now it's real, right? You get a book cover made, now you need to have a landing page or a website or a blog put together that you can start writing about it and bringing an audience in and starting to get email signups. And then pre-selling it or pre-funding it, create a pre-funding campaign where people can start giving you money for it now, or pre-buying or pre-purchasing or pre-selling, whatever, or building an email list. So that's really what it's all about. And there's a bunch of little steps in between all that, which includes, getting your early reviews, getting your blurbs, you setting up your social networking stuff, all those things that are really important for you, because producing online content is about a launch. And a launch is something that info marketers have been doing for the longest time. And I've been in the internet marketing world for over 16 years, and I've watched people do it. And it works for books as well. The concept is, it's like Hollywood movie trailer, right? The movie's coming out in 3 weeks. We're going to tease you, get you excited, because when that movie's out, then you are ready to buy. It's pre-launching, pre-selling, getting people excited, and it works. So the concept is you tell people about it before. I mean, one of the worst things you can do or get involved in as a salesperson, which I've been doing sales and marketing for the longest time, is have to educate people about a product. You want people who already know what you have and are already pre-sold, because then when you tell them about it and offer them the ability to click a buy button, they don't have to make a decision. They've already made it. And that's when you make a lot of money, and that's why launches work.
So you pre-sold them on it. So how do you do that? How do you create that sale before there's even a book?
Well, I follow the method which information marketers have done for the longest time. These are people who are those online gurus who create those, you know, $2,000 products, and they sell $1 million of them in a day. And I'm not kidding you. I know those people. They're legit. And some I don't know the scammy ones, but I know the ones who make really good products. And I'm not going to give you their names, but they're really high quality people, and they create great products, and they do make that much money. And the reason they do it is because they pre-inform an audience about what benefits and what the content of their program is going to be, and they do it by telling them stories. You know, one of the best things you can do as a marketer is tell stories, because you have to be a marketer now. You're an author, but you also have to be a marketer. And you have to tell a story about why you're writing the book and what's going to be in the book and how it's going to help the person, how it's going to entertain them. So you build this launch up over a period of time. It could be weeks, it could be months, it could be a year, however you want to set it. But at some point, that book's going to be available, and that person's going to have been told the story already ahead of time. Now, ways you can do that is to create audio and create video. I love video. The power of video to tell stories is just unmatched. The ability to go in and be able to explain to somebody why you're doing what you're doing. I put a simple video up at my site, businessaroundthelifestyle.com, where I did the pre-funding, which is now closed, but you can still go watch the video. Where I tell the story about why I'm writing these books and why they're important to me. And that's why people funded it. It wasn't, you know, people buy things and people donate and people fund things and people make decisions based upon emotions. Because human beings are emotional. And when you can tap into the emotion of somebody, you have a much better chance at getting them to create an action, because emotions create reactions.
Definitely true. So what would you say is the role of good professional design and editing when it comes to producing a successful book?
Well, I know this for a fact. You got to have a great book cover. As somebody who's been involved in internet marketing for over 16 years, I can tell you, and I started as a web designer, and I'm an average web designer at best, so I got out of that business and let the experts do it. I'm a marketer. But as a marketer, I can tell you this right now. If you aren't able to get somebody to look and pay attention to what you have and resonate with what you have, then they're not going to pay attention. I would challenge anyone here right now to go on to Amazon and do a search in their category of books for whatever their category is. If it's organic chef, go look. And then choose the drop-down box that says by best-selling, because Amazon defaults to relevance. And I want you to choose the one that's the best selling. And you will see the books that sell the best in your category. And look at the covers and tell me, you know, why those covers are resonating with people. You know, design has always been something that you should never let the designers run. And let me explain myself, okay? Designers are great at making things look pretty. and making them look wonderful. But in my opinion, you should never let a designer design anything. You should let a marketer plan it and then let the designer go around the marketer's plan, because marketers design things and plan things for the purpose of getting someone to buy it or download it or something. And that is the absolute truth. So when I go to do book covers, I strategically plan them based upon what books are selling, what imagery is going to resonate with my audience. For the Business Around a Lifestyle book, I spent a month and a half trying to figure out what images I was going to put on the cover. I did Facebook research. I asked people on Twitter. I threw images, stock art images up on it, all over the place. And I said, what does this image say to you? What do you think about this? And it eventually came down to the fact that the type of book I was writing was about changing your life and make building your own business on the internet. And the biggest image that resonated with those people was a man working underneath a palm tree on his computer. Now, that sounds cheesy, and I maybe probably wouldn't have used that image, but I found out that 85% of the people who are the audience for my book resonated with that image. You know, so anyways, the whole point is that it's very important to have a cover and have proofing and editing that make you look professional, and it's very inexpensive to do nowadays on your own or hire somebody to do it. Just make sure that you hire somebody who understands the marketing aspect of it all first.
Right. And definitely. And I want to go back to that they do need to hire someone, because I harp on that all the time. And I have a lot of people who just say, I don't have the money. You know, I'm going to design it myself, or I'm going to edit it myself. And I want to hear what you have to say about that, because what I hear over and over again is that the distinction between a self-published book and a traditionally published book, more often than not, comes down to the fact that a lot of indie publishers are not getting professional design and editing.
Yeah, I mean, the book cover thing is, the cover thing is really important. I mean, let me put it to you this way. You say you don't have the money. Is that because you think it's too expensive, or have you researched it? I have. And a disclaimer is, I have, you know, book cover design services, okay? And I've paid $1,000 for a book cover design, and I've paid $5 for a book cover design. And I found that the $1,000 one was overpriced, and I found that the $5 one was not worth it. There are literally hundreds of thousands of qualified, smart people sitting around in their homes in their underwear who have been laid off from jobs as editors and designers, who are more than happy to go out there and spend a lot of time and effort creating book covers for you and editing and proofing for you. You just have to look for them. And whether you use my service or you use Nina's service or whoever you use, there are inexpensive options out there. And the book cover is really important. The proofing and editing, I have to tell you this. If you do not have your book edited for typos and grammar, one of the things that's going to happen, and I can tell you this from experiences, I would say that 50% of the reviews that you will get on Amazon and other places will be people who will discredit your book because they found typos in it. And I think that is kind of short-sighted, in my opinion. However, there are still a lot of people in the world who think that if you spell there T-H-I-E-R when you're supposed to spell it T-H-E-E-R-E, and they will discredit your entire book because of that. They'll say, oh, I thought it was going to be a good book, but I found a typo. And those people still exist. So I would highly suggest that you spend the money to get your book edited and proofed, because reviews are important. It's really important to spend. Last thing I'll tell you about is, for the cost of what you need to get done, you can find really great solutions. And it's not a ton of money. I want you to think about how much money you spend on coffee every day and other things. It's really not a lot of money. It's a business investment that you can write off, because you're going to make profits from your book.
Right. So, Jim, what are your predictions for 2012 when it comes to book publishing?
Well, I think that Amazon's going to continue to dominate. I think they pretty much put the death blow in to everyone else with their move with KDP Select. I think it's a brilliant business model. We'll see how it plays out down the road if authors are really getting paid out from the pool of the money that's available.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
Can you explain to our listeners what KDP Select is?
Yeah, so Kindle Direct Publishing is the name of their arm that allows you to upload a book to Amazon on your own. So if you have a book right now, you can go on to Kindle Direct Publishing, upload a book, price it however you want, and sell it on Amazon. Anyone can do this. It's free. Upload a Word document, upload a cover, you're done, okay? What Select is they said that if you give us your book exclusively, like if you don't publish it anywhere else, like Smashwords or Barnes & Noble, Pubit or anything, we'll give you the opportunity to be part of our network of, we have $500,000 we're giving away to our authors in January. They have a thing called Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime is, when you sign up, it's like $79 a year. You get access to all the streaming movies and TV. You get free shipping on everything you order from Amazon. And now you get the ability to borrow books from the Amazon Lending Library for free if you have Amazon Prime. So what Select does is it puts your book into that Amazon Lending Library. And it allows people to borrow your book if they have a Kindle. So Amazon will say they'll pay you a percentage of that $500,000 every month based upon how many borrows you have. So the thing is, in my world, in the nonfiction space, Amazon was already 98% of my sales, okay? People aren't going to the Smashwords and other places to buy my books, right? They were going to Amazon. So it was a no-brainer for me to be part of this. And I think that time will tell whether it's going to be right for fiction authors. But I think it's a game changer for the nonfiction authors because Amazon is the place that people buy their nonfiction. And I think that's they're going to continue to dominate. And I really don't see anyone being able to really do it. I do think, though, however, I still think that Google has an amazing opportunity that they are just sitting on that they have done nothing with. And I don't think they're going to do it, but I think they could with the Google Books. If they would make it easy for you to upload your book to Google Books, they could dominate and create their own online bookstore. Because guess what? When you search for your book title on Google, whose listing could they show first? Amazon's or theirs, right?
Right.
And they could easily do that if they just made it simple and easy to have everyone put their books up on Google. But they're not doing it. So I don't know what's going to happen. But for now, I don't see anyone beating Amazon. Don't.
Okay. And what about ebooks?
Well, you mean there's like books not sold through a distributor, like sold through your website, that type of ebook?
No, just, I mean, in general, do you think that, do you encourage the authors who come to you to just do ebooks, or are you encouraging them to do print and ebooks?
No, I do both.
Do you think that the way we're going now is just towards ebooks?
Well, for every 100 printed books sold on Amazon, they sell 180 digital books. So, and that was 2 months ago from Jeff Bezos, right? And that number is growing and growing and growing every month. In a year from now, you know, we're going to see it bigger and better. I still think that you should do both. I mean, it's so easy to put a book up in digital form, ebook form, up on Amazon. You know what? You can also use CreateSpace and have a print-on-demand version. I mean, I haven't gotten all my books there yet, but it's you go through and you go through a process and you upload your book and they put it in print-on-demand so people can order a book one at a time. So you can have hardcover books. Oh, and by the way, you can also link your print-on-demand book with your digital book on Amazon so people can have the choice. They can buy the printed version or the digital version on Amazon. And guess what? Regular people have no idea that it's a print-on-demand book. And by the way, they don't care. People just know that you wrote a book. And they go, wow, I can get the digital one or I can order the print one. And then when they order the print one, it just the company prints up a copy of it, makes one copy of it and ships it out to the person. So then the person has no idea that that's a print on demand. So that's what I do. I do both.
Right. Okay, great. So before we end, Jim, can you please tell us anything else you'd like to share about your company and your services, and share the link to your website and tell our listeners how they can contact you?
Great. Yeah. I mean, I'd love for you all to check out my books. It's jimcukrell.com. That's KUKRAL.com. JimCukrell.com. All of my books are listed right there on the front page of the site. I do own a company called Digital Book Launch, and hopefully I'll give you a link to put in on your website where we post this up. I do have a $199 book cover design service, which I believe is very competitively priced, and we do amazing book covers for people. I know you have a friend, Joel, who does great book covers as well, but I tried to get a book cover done from Joel. He's just too busy. He couldn't even get – he's got too many clients. He couldn't get it done.
You're much more affordable. I think that $199 is a great deal, and I highly recommend that that our listeners check out your service.
Yeah, and when you do, use the link on Nina's site here. And if you don't use the link after you order, make sure you let me know that you found me from Nina's site, because – you know, then I can give Nina credit for promoting this, because that's the way good business works, and I think people should get credit when they do that. I mean, it's important, because she was the one able to spread the message, and I'd be happy to give Nina a little bit, because she helped me get the message out there. That wasn't the whole point of all this, but that's a side benefit of doing business, isn't it?
That is, and I appreciate it.
You know, and people always say, well, Jim, why — you may be thinking this — why would you say that? You know what? I believe that in being transparent with things like this. And when somebody says they recommend it, you know, I mean, people should know. That's how business works. And if anyone else wants to promote that as well, they can do that as well. This is all about helping you. This is not about — what Nina does and what I do is all about helping you. You know, one of the reasons I'm not sitting on a beach in Cabo San Lucas under a palm tree with a laptop is because I don't sell out and create junk and do things that make money, a lot of money for me without that aren't good. And I know, Nina, you're like that too. I would love to be rich and sit under a tree and not have to work ever again. But if that means I had to create things and work with people I didn't want to work with and not be authentic, then I wouldn't do it.
That's right. And I 100% agree with you. And the other thing is that I'd like to make the point is that the helping each other and rewarding each other for supporting each other is all part of what we've been talking about, because building off her platform and getting out there and creating successful books is about creating relationships with people and people who are like you. It's not all about competition. It's about developing relationships with people who are in the same industries you're in. And that way you support each other, and you help promote each other's books, and you help promote each other's services, and you work together. And that's a really important aspect of succeeding as an author.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm glad to be here and answering these questions, and I'd love to do this again sometime, because it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. So I'm really happy to have you on the show, and I'd love to have you back again.
Great.
So thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Write Nonfiction Now podcast. Please visit the blog at writenonfictionnow.com and my website at copyrightcommunications.com, spelled COPYWRIGHT. This is Nina Amir encouraging you to write nonfiction. Write it now!